this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views I've expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Joel Skousen. But before we get to Joel, I just wanted to comment. I got something here from Gary Bauer. Now, Gary Bauer, of course, leads the Christian conservatives. He was a founding member of the Project for the New American Century, and he professes to be pro-life but pro-family values, and is back there in Washington, D.C., supposedly representing our interests. But the interesting thing he was just sent out was how terrible it was that Planned Parenthood, which has a massive budget, hundreds of millions, several hundred million dollars, was getting about 34% of its income of the $305 million of the budget it has. But 34% of that is coming from our government, and how terrible that is, and how we've got to do something to stop that, and we need to get, you know, have some bills go through Congress to stop Planned Parenthood getting so much money from our government. What he doesn't mention, of course, is that the Republicans have been in charge of Congress, you know, from 2000 on, right up until, and really both houses of Congress, right up until 2006. So why didn't, when the Republicans in charge, why were they allowing this massive funding of Planned Parenthood? Well, of course, Gary Bauer wants to trace it back to Bill Clinton, but the Republicans were in charge. We had a Republican administration. They pretend to be pro-life, and it's all showbiz, ladies and gentlemen. It's all show business. It's Amos and Andy, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, and you've got to get the American people to really believe that Republicans are pro-life. They're no more pro-life in many respects than many of the Democrats are. I mean, they could have done something. They haven't. Everything is an illusion or delusion to make you think we got a two-party system, whereas indeed we've got a one-party system with two branches. And with that as the background, Joel, why don't you tell us what we're going to talk about today?
Well, you're right. It's all for show, Dr. Stan, except it isn't funny.
I know it isn't.
No entertainment value in the killing of children. And my lead story for tomorrow's brief is going to be media complicity with the White House agenda. Nothing was more symptomatic of that than today's press conference from President Bush. You know, I do take time to listen in relative agony, I might say, to the mainstream media, only because their carefully worded omissions and distortions of what's really going on in the world are a key indicator of where the powers that be are intending to take this nation. I mean, what they're emphasizing, what they're pushing for is a real important thing to understand, and you can see that in the media reports and in the White House and various leaders in Congress, what they're pushing. You know, I'm amazed at how much time the media spends in merely repeating official pronouncements as news. You know, you turn on the news in between even Genesis, you know, and you have the standard USA Today news, and they'll just say the White House said that, and they'll propagandize what the White House puts out without any critical comment whatsoever. However, Thursday, or today's press conference, we saw a rare example of a reporter asking the president a question that brought into stark contrast the distortions Bush had just offered up on the telecom immunity issue. The president's quick reprimand of this journalist was kind of a stark reminder that this is kind of a rigged game at the White House press conference, and you either go along, as you and I discussed, you know, quite a while ago. Reporters play along with this system by sending the White House press secretary prepared questions so that the White House can pre-screen who they'll call on and who they will avoid. A few years ago, Bush, you know, was particularly rattled. He was caught on camera looking down at his notes before each question and then reading the name of the next reporter to recognize. So it had been totally scripted of what reporters were going to be recognized because they had the questions in advance.
Well, you hang on to that. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan and Joe was just talking about how so many of the president's press conferences are scripted ahead of time, that he really has to know what the questions are so we can answer them, because if he doesn't have a script, he's going to begin to stumble and he's really not going to know the answers. In fact, I'll never forget one time when, of course, somebody did ask him a question he wasn't expecting, and he said, "Gee, if you'd just set that question in ahead of time, I could have given you a better answer." So this is what it's really all about. So anyway, go ahead, Joel.
Well, here's an example of some of the typical softball questions the president wants to hear. "Mr. President, do you believe if we had the kind of rapid pullout from Iraq that the Democrats are talking about, that we'd be at greater risk of a terrorist attack here at home?" You know, talk about handing the president an excuse to pontificate on the phony war on terror, and of course he did. I mean, this is like handing a person on the, you know, thing on a silver platter to say, you know, "Come on, give us all your propaganda." I mean, why ask a question like that? The president has talked time and time again using that phony excuse that if we pull out from Iraq, the terrorists, you see, will make it here to home, and he asks the question. You know, on to more substantive matters. This main press conference, you know, the main focus of it was the continued insistence that Congress grant total and retroactive immunity to telecommunications companies that help the government spy on Americans. Naturally, Bush never admits this. Rather, they were spying on overseas terrorists. Here's what Bush said. He said, it, meaning the telecom surveillance without a warrant, was legal. Of course, he refused to say how it was legal. And now all of a sudden, plaintiff attorneys, class action plaintiff attorneys, you know, I don't want to try to get inside their head, I suspect they see, you know, a financial gravy train. You know, that's really a cheap shot, Mr. President. And they're trying to sue these companies, as if there was virtually no basis in law for these suits. This is what his statement implies. He says it's unfair. Well, it's equally unfair that citizens should hold... is it unfair that citizens should hold the government and private companies accountable for a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment? He says it's patently unfair. And secondly, he says, these lawsuits create doubts among those who will, whose help we need. Well, yes, of course, the threat of legal action is supposed to have a chilling effect on the violations of our civil rights. This is just amazing, the kinds of things he'll engage in. He says, members should act on a very urgent priority, that is to pass legislation our intelligence officials need to quickly and effectively monitor terrorist communications. My comment is, this is completely false. U.S. intelligence agencies have been monitoring all communications ever since World War II with the Echelon system and with telephone companies without warrants. Telephone companies have a basic private switching room to which all of the switchgear is connected to wiretap equipment and surveillance equipment. And have you ever asked the FBI agents when they come into a telephone company? They come in every day. Someone's always manning that room. They never ask him for a warrant or what he's doing in there. They simply don't know. But they have provided the equipment that allows the government to eavesdrop on any and all conversations without a warrant. And it's been going on for years. So the slowness of the warrant process is not the issue. The warrants are simply something that they occasionally go through to make it appear as if they're following the rule of law. This is just a total sham.
Well, if I could just comment for our listeners, please, if you have access to a computer, go up and Google in the word Echelon. E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N. E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N. And it will verify
exactly. E-C-H-E-L-O-N.
E-L-O-N. All right, fine. Yeah. Anyway, of course, it will verify what Joel is saying. They've been doing this for decades. You know, they've been listening to our conversations and reading our emails and our faxes when they became available. And so most of what's going on today is simply for showbiz to try to convince the American people we're involved in a war on terror. And, of course, really, then, actually, if anybody should ever go back and note Echelon is there to give the telephone companies immunity for violating the laws of this land, not just for the last few years or since 2001, but going back for 20 or 30 or more years. Go right ahead.
Well, the president says that issue is a dispute over whether telecommunications companies should be subjected to class action lawsuits because they are believed to have helped defend America. Now, that is the reason that they're subject to class action lawsuits, because they've been asked to help defend America. The reason, of course, is that that the government was threatening to withhold lucrative contracts to these companies. They even retaliated against Quest Communications and the CEO personally. The reason is they violated people's civil rights by warrantless, not because they were helping to defend America. This was a very lucrative thing, deal that the government offered them, and a threat of retaliation if they didn't go along. And very few of these companies could afford to overlook the multi-million-dollar contracts the government allows them to get involved in for doing this kind of illegal surveillance. He continues, he says, allowing these lawsuits to proceed would be unfair. If any of these companies helped us, they did so after being told by our government that their assistance was legal and vital to our national security. Now, this sounds logical on its face, but it's only superficially true. This has never been an excuse in law, Dr. Stan, that someone who had assured another that an act was legal gives you immunity from the law. It's your obligation to ascertain that what someone assuring you is legal is legal. There is absolutely no protection in law against relying upon someone's verbal assurance, unless it is the judge itself of the law, or, for example, in the IRS, if the IRS tells you something, you can rely on it, because that is the prosecuting authority. Now, telecoms were well aware of the threat of allowing warrantless surveillance, as is evidenced by company interoffice memos produced as part of these lawsuits, talking about the fact that we could be liable for this. So it wasn't the companies felt like they weren't liable simply because the government assured them. So this is another lie. You know, it's amazing that the media doesn't really catch him on these things. I mean, they should be saying, as soon as the question's asked, you said this, Mr. President, and, you know, according to our legal experts, it isn't true. It has never been, for example, an excuse in law that you can rely on someone's assurances. Then he continues, allowing the lawsuits to proceed would give aid to our enemies because the litigation process, his grammar is all messed up here, to the disclosure of the information about how we conduct surveillance. And it would give Al-Qaeda and others a roadmap of how to avoid the surveillance. This is nonsense. All terrorists know that all emails and telephone calls are monitored. The only aim of this secrecy is to keep Americans from realizing that all private calls and emails are already being recorded by government. Now, anyone has to, you know, you could blow this story apart if you simply ask yourself one question. How is it the government knows whose phone to tap? How is it the government knows what terrorist or what phone to tap? It's because they surveil everything. They record everything, and they use computers to sort it out, and they find keywords, and they think, oh, this might be a terrorist. And so that's how they go in to get a warrant. They've already recorded everybody's conversations. It's just incredible. Now, there was only one reporter whose name was CBS's Bill Plant that dropped this bombshell. He obviously understands. He says, in the third or fourth question, and then he said, if you can get the Congress to protect telecom companies from lawsuits, then there's no recourse for Americans who feel that they've been caught up in all this. Now, in his next statement, Bill Plant softens his criticism by saying, now, I know it's unintended to spy on Americans. Well, I wouldn't give him that. But anyway, he says, I know it's unintended to spy on Americans, but here's what he says. In the collection process, information about everybody gets swept up and it gets sorted out. He's absolutely correct. It's what I've been saying for months, Dr. Stan. Any savvy journalist knows that, and yet this is the first time in 6 months of debate on this issue that any journalist has had the audacity to state in open that the information from everybody gets swept up and then it gets sorted out. Then he says, so if Americans don't have any recourse, are you just telling them when it comes to their privacy to suck it up? Now, of course, suck it up is a military phrase meaning you got to hack it. You know, it's just, you know, you just deal with it, quit complaining. I won't tell you the pilot version of suck it up because it has to do with being airsick with an oxygen mask on your face, but in the normal Marine Corps jargon or Army jargon, it's like sucking your gut and hold your breath and push forward. But in any case, one pundit said that Bush was objecting to Bill Plant's use you've got to expect the American people to suck it up. When the president responded, I wouldn't put it that way if I were you in public. You've been around long enough to know that. That's what he said. Now, it's very interesting. Bush was noticeably shaken by his question, and he looked very, very worried. It wasn't even to the end of the suck-it-up remark, so I don't think that was... I mean, here Bush is a person who used the F-word and four-letter words all day long. He wouldn't be, you know, bothered by that. So I think what he was referring to is that you know better than to embarrass me in public and contradict me in public on this. You've been here long enough to know that that's against the rules. Now, that's what he was implying. Because, you know, he really put Bush on the spot. He's saying, well, you're just telling the American people that you can take your privacy and stick it down a hole because we're going to protect these telecom companies. Now, naturally, Bush reacted when he finally did get his composure back to state that... Anyway, people who analyze the program fully understand that American civil liberties are well protected, said Bush. There's a constant check to make sure that our civil liberties of others aren't, well, you know, are treated with respect. Oh, this is just ludicrous. The person that can sit there and lie and say, it's like the government assures the telecoms that someone's assured me that everyone's civil rights are protected.
Well, I think it's unfortunate that most people have no idea what's really going on today. And so our job is to try to get the information out and to point out that they are spying on the American people. They've been listening to our telephone conversations for decades. And this is all showbiz. We'll be right back.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I want to tell you about our plans at Genesis to take Ron Paul Revolution to the air. The Ron Paul Air Corps plans to put 100 banner flights above the American cities to get the message out about Ron Paul. By the end of December, we plan to be ready to fly in Iowa and have 50 cities covered by February 5th. In order to accomplish this project, we need your help. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. It costs approximately $400 per hour to fly, so we need your generous support. Please consider donating to the RonPaulAirCorps.com. As the ground troops canvass the neighborhoods, we plan to provide air support, drawing as much media as possible. Come to RonPaulAirCorps.com and make a contribution. That's RonPaulAircorps.com. Here's to freedom, the Constitution, and liberty. RonPaulAirCorps.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, pick up the story from there.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We were talking about the President's press conference and how it's an indication of the powers that be and their agenda. And we see an awful lot of collusion between the media and what the President says, especially in how they let him get away with these things. He also mentioned, the invasion of Turkey. While the United States is openly critical of Turkey's, Turkey's invasion of Iraq in the northern sector where the PKK guerrillas are, But the United States is openly critical of Turkey's military incursion into Iraq, but it's clear that the president's words that there are to be, by the president's words, that there are to be no consequences for this cross-border invasion. Indeed, many analysts are convinced that the U.S. gave a secret go signal to Turkey before the invasion. Listen now, the president waffles as a reporter tries to nail down how long it's acceptable for Turkey to be in Iraq. The reporter says, Mr. President, Turkey's ground offensive in northern Iraq is now a week old and no end in sight. How quickly would you like to see Turkey end its offensive, its incursion? Do you have any concerns about the possibility of a protracted presence in Iraq causing further destabilization in the region? Bush says, well, a couple of points on that. One, the Turks, the Americans, and the Iraqis, including the Iraqi Kurds, share a common enemy in the PKK. Now, that's actually a false statement. In fact, the U.S. has been relatively shielding the PKK from anyone in Iraq. In fact, he admits, in his second point, he says, I will make to you an admission that our special forces present in northern Iraq and Kurdistan now, apart from what you're referring to. So there is a U.S. presence there, and they've been a presence for a while. So finally, we have an admission that the U.S. military presence is in northern Iraq, in Kurdistan, special forces. But Bush does not say why U.S. special forces have not been actively engaging the PKK, because they have not. Now, some believe that the special forces have been used to defuse Iraqi demands that they be allowed to evict the PKK. In other words, the U.S. can, when Iraq says, you know, we want to go in there and try to root them out, the U.S. says, no, we have special force in there, and we're handling the job. But it's just made to, and they're not handling the job. Of course, another theory is that the U.S. is channeling arms through the PKK to its sister terrorist organization, the PJAK, which is being paid by the U.S. to antagonize and invade and infiltrate into Iran. And thirdly, you know, the president says, I strongly agree with the sentiments of Defense Secretary Gates, who said that the incursion must be limited and must be temporary in nature. In other words, it shouldn't be long-lasting. The Turks need to know, you know, move quickly, achieve their objective and get out. Now, this is contradictory to reality because the PKK are very entrenched in high mountain caves and fortifications. It would take months, if that, to root them out, and the U.S. military knows that. Iraq knows this, and Turkey knows this. This is going to be a long-term engagement unless Turkey decides to give up. So the reporter continues to question. He says, but how quickly, sir, do they need to move out? Bush, you know, as quickly as possible. Days or weeks? Well, as possible. That's all he would say. You know, that's as waffling a response as you can get from a person.
Well, I don't think he has any idea how to respond. I mean, he's avoiding the question because he doesn't know the answer.
But what the reporter was clearly implying is, how much pressure are you going to put? Are you giving them ultimatums? And it's obviously there's no ultimatums at all, you know.
Sure.
In other words, I think the Bush administration is merely throwing a bone to Turkey, who has had many secret dealings with the U.S., leaving the U.S. open to blackmail and pressure. The Turks are not timid about leaning on the U.S. in exchange for all the favors the Turks supply to U.S. dark side operations in the Middle East. I mean, they have secret bases where the U.S. flies secret missions out of. They work with Israel on clandestine operations. You know, the Bush administration has to make statements decrying this invasion, but they have secretly given the Turks a wink and a nod, you know, to permit this. This is very, very hypocritical to claim that they are, in the harshest of terms, demanding that Turkey stop this invasion. It's just not true at all. But this is no different, you know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I agree with you totally. I mean, certainly my understanding is they've told the Turks to go ahead and do it, but then we're going to stand up and say, oh, what a terrible thing this is. You play both ends against the middle. The American people have no idea what's really going on.
That's right. You know, and we're giving China and North Korea, those evils are all also being appeased by the administration. As for China, the U.S. has repeatedly denied requests from the Chinese human rights activists to boycott the Beijing Olympics. A world boycott against China's premier propaganda event in 2008 would really put serious pressure on the Chinese communists, but it won't happen. I mean, you know, they boycotted South Africa, which wasn't anywhere near the predator of the Chinese.
Well, we seem to have a policy that is certainly characterized by inconsistency. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen, right here at Genesis.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, I'm David, and if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age, so get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-sinesterols than ordinary saw palmetto, so it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a copy of the World Affairs Brief, and perhaps even subscribe?
Yes. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a sample copy of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. The briefing is a analysis of the news I do each week. My volunteer staff puts on the website all of the top stories that come out. They screen them for the best of the conventional media, and then I supply the details that even the best of the conventional media leave out. And as we're talking about this week, many times purposely, as they secretly work towards this globalist agenda that the Bush and Cheney administration are working towards in the name of conservatism. So I do concentrate. My main emphasis on the brief is uncovering what I believe is a conspiracy of power to take away liberty in the United States, to destroy national sovereignty and hand us over to both regional government as well as international governments under the guise of a new world order. And I think they're going to do war to do this. I have a major piece on my website called Strategic Threats of the Coming Decade, where I lay out my general theory on what I think the globalists are doing to antagonize the world and provoke a retaliation against the United States military so as to drive us into the arms of the United States nations to save us in a war scenario. So we have a lot that we've covered over the years, and encourage people to subscribe, and then they have access to all of the archives of all the material that I've written over the years.
All right, fine. So I recommend it to you. I certainly read the World Affairs Brief every week when it comes out, and not only that, but I go to that website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and scan it every single day right after I finish my emails. Well, let's go ahead with what else we're going to be covering on the brief this week.
Well, you know, the U.S. doesn't even seem to be inclined to put any meaningful pressure on North Korea for its continued refusal to open its nuclear programs to international inspection, and actually dismantling, which is what they are, you know, supposed to do. This is part of the six-party talks, and they had agreed in exchange for aid, food aid and oil aid, and the release of North Korea from the terrorist provoking the nations list. And incredibly, the North Koreans are now demanding, they've refused, of course, to comply. That was the December deadline, and here it is in almost March, and they're refusing to comply with opening up or even giving an accounting of their entire nuclear program. And incredibly, the North Koreans are now demanding even more aid for food and oil as a condition of continuing the process. If the U.S. gives into this good aid after bad concept and loses, it'll be the laughing stock of the world. Naturally, it isn't lost on the rest of the world that the Bush administration and its globalist yes men will never look the other way on Iran's attempt to challenge the United States. But for some reason or another, anything associated with a surrogate of Russia and China gets the easy go-around. You know, even the much-ballyhooed New York Philharmonic concert in Pyongyang this week may have had been more of a pacifier of the West than an ameliorator of Far Eastern tyrants. As Brian Myers, a professor over in Korea, said, it is much easier to invite an orchestra than to make concessions on the nuclear front. The event was masterminded by dear leader Kim Jong-il, who no doubt saw the concert as a perfect way to make the Americans happy for another few months. Americans are suckers, of course, for the idea that culture and trade will mollify hardcore communists, as it appeared to do after the supposed fall of the Soviet Union. That, of course, as my readers know, was a carefully crafted deception. And next on Pyongyang's agenda is a concert by Eric Clapton. Perhaps the Chinese have finally gotten through to Kim Jong-il that honey attracts capitalists more than venom. So it may well be that North Koreans are going to start to play the role of China, that is playing like they're softening to the West, and that hoping that the U.S. will not push them on this nuclear issue.
Well, I think that, go right ahead, I think that all of these things are so important.
All we simply do is
modify China. We do everything we can to just still be so nice to them and to North Korea. Why are we so concerned about Iran and we're not concerned about North Korea? It just doesn't make sense.
No, other than the fact that you understand my general theory on the globalist perspective, that they are covering for those that will create this major war with World War III in retaliation against the United States military. And it's been a while since I've explained this to these listeners, but essentially, globalists for many years have been fomenting communist revolutions around the world, whether it's they brought Mao Zedong to power in China. They do this by cutting aid to the anti-communist forces so that they, and not pressuring Russia to withhold ammunition from their communist allies. And of course, naturally, the communists win when you cut off ammunition and supplies to Chiang Kai-shek in China. They did the same thing to Laos, and the anti-communists in Laos and Vietnam. Eventually, we betrayed them. We betrayed the Shah of Iran. We betrayed the people of Cuba and Batista in helping Castro come to power. A lot of Americans are shocked to hear that. But the ambassador to Cuba at the time was fully aware that what our State Department was doing in undermining Batista and helping out Castro. He protested. The State Department just thumbed their nose at him and refused to listen.
And if anybody would like, of course, to see my interview with Ambassador Earl E.T. Smith, that's included in our DVD called The World Revolution. I actually talked to the ambassador, who said very openly that the our American government, the president, the State Department, all knew that Fidel Castro was a communist and insisted on bringing him to power.
How long ago was that interview? How old was he at that time?
He must have been in his 80s. It was about 1980.
Well,
would you like a copy of the Would you like a copy of the DVD?
Yes, I really would, Dr. Stan. This is a real historic thing to hear from.
It really is. Sure, we'll get it off to you. Don't you worry.
But you know, of course, you know, we undermined Somoza in Nicaragua to allow the Sandinistas to come to power. We undermined the anti-Cuban forces, the Bay of Pigs, withdrawing all of their air support. I mean, it's really criminal what the United States has done, and a lot of people in the conservative movement from the old Goldwater days, the anti-communist wing of the conservative movement, always thought, oh, the reason is because the State Department is full of a lot of communist infiltrators. And yes, there were some. But what they don't realize is that most of those high-born traitors at the highest positions were actually globalists who were facilitating the entrance of spies into our government, not because because they were helping out the communist side, not because they were actual communists. Same thing with Alger Hiss. Alger Hiss was a globalist. He's one of those that took an integral part in forming the United Nations. He was not a communist. The globalists had reasons for fomenting and improving the communist revolutions around the world, because that's how they used communism to break down the existing social order, so that they could create crises. And out of those wars and crises, the globalists would come in with slightly more moderate socialist solutions to be able to attract people. And that's how they corrupted nations and peoples over there. It's been a very sophisticated thing that's been going on for years, in large part since World War One.
And that was really the message of Professor Quigley, and the one that your uncle, Cleon Skousen, picked up in his book, on the naked capitalist. But basically, Professor Quigley, in his book Tragedy and Hope, says, it wasn't, the communists working in our State Department and our government that brought Eastern Europe into communism and China into communism, because we actually brought communism to China. We undercut the nationalist Chinese, put an arms embargo on them so they couldn't get their weapons anyplace, wouldn't let them have the weapons they'd already bought and purchased, which were in Okinawa. Our CIA, our intelligence agencies and government did everything they could to undermine Chiang Kai-shek, to bring the communists to power. And Professor Quigley said, there are a lot of foolish people who think it was the communists in Time magazine and at Harvard and the State Department that were responsible, but it really wasn't. It was this Anglo-American establishment that he was talking about. And that is certainly about somewhere around page between about 955 and 965 in his book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, at the end of the chapter there. And this was such a revelation to me to realize that it has never been the communists working in our government that have done these things. They've been there sort of as a front to confuse people. It has been the Anglo-American establishment, or call it what you will, the group that Cleon Skousen wrote so eloquently about, and of course Joel and I have been talking about for so long. It is the traitors within the elite of our country that have brought and helped communism to prosper, not the communists.
Well, and that's why it's my general theory that the U.S. is covering for Russian war preparations, nuclear war, biological and chemical warfare. They're the largest production facilities in the world, and many of those are underground in large bunker systems, like Yamato Mountain and Yazvinsky Mountain. And the United States intelligence knows that, and yet we continue. I mean, President Bush in his press conference today refused to denounce Putin, saying that he was still a good friend, even though we have our differences about the missile defense system. And he ought to be crying to the world that Russia is preparing for nuclear war against America, and so is China, of course. Now, even though the United States Pentagon gives a report to Congress every year on the threat of China, there is no such report on Russia. None whatsoever. Russia is completely treated as an ally, which is the most unconscionable lapse in intelligence. And of course it isn't a lapse, it's a purposeful cover up for Russia. And the reason they're covering up is because they're basically going to antagonize the world through intervention in the Middle East and create hatred for the United States. They're preserving what I believe North Korea and Taiwan for trigger events, where China will invade Taiwan and North Korea will invade South Korea, and they'll take Japan as well as a trigger event for World War III. But the reason that they are going after one nation after another in the Middle East is to antagonize the world. Those nations are not, even though they're supported in part by Russia, as it was in Iraq, Russia completely let Iraq fall, didn't come to its defense whatsoever. And I think they're going to let Iran fall as well, as the domino effect of building hatred for both the U.S. and Israel. And that hatred will in turn engender a massive retaliatory attack at such point that our reputation as the bully of the world becomes mature, and Russia thinks and that they can get away with it. And there will be, you know, as I say, trigger events or crises, a huge crises to provoke this. The war with Iran, I don't believe, is that crisis, however. I think that will lead to a major Middle East war where the U.S. will and Israel together will cut down to size the numerous missile forces of the Arab nations, which will be used up. There'll be some damage to Israel in this next one when Syria pours its huge missile arsenal into Israel. Even though Israel has a missile defense system, it simply can be overwhelmed by hundreds of rockets, as we're seeing almost every week play out.
And I think we are living in very, very dangerous times. I agree with you, Joel. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but it's only a matter of time before we have a major war in the Near East.
Well, you know, it's very sad to say, you know, that the 2000 election, as John Christian Ryder says, is in the toilet. The people, even those who like the candidates, will be forced to choose from, have already lost. The ones that people would like have already lost. They're the designated losers. The designated winners are John McCain, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama. And the issues, he says, that will be enacted during the 111th and 112th Congress will destroy the fabric of America and leave the United States torn, tattered, and bleeding. The North American Union, amnesty for illegals, erasing the U.S. borders, all this will come to pass, plus many more social progressive pieces of legislation that will eliminate the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech. Right of citizens to own firearms. It's a pretty bleak picture, but I think that's what we're headed for, whether it's under John McCain or Barack Obama or, heaven help us, even Hillary Clinton.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. But the important thing is that we reach as many people we can in the time that's allotted to us, Joel, and you're doing a great job, and you keep doing what you're doing.
Well, you know, on the McCain side, he's engendered less enthusiasm from the conservative right than anyone that I can remember in many years. He's a bitter pill to swallow. But swallow they will because of the old lesser of two evils ploy. Admittedly, it's getting harder to see McCain as even a lesser evil compared to the others. Ever more damaging information on his background becomes known every day. Jerome Corsi in WorldNet Daily wrote an exclusive piece about the tainted sources of McCain's fortune through his second wife, Cindy Hensley. Basically goes back to bootlicking of the major corporations. What is it? The Bronson family, you know, which was famous for their liquor and Seagram's, other things there, the ones that were doing all the bootlicking across the Canadian border, and they also did it through Mexico into Arizona. Hensley's father got tied up into big liquor and beer franchises in Phoenix, and he was indicted on a couple of occasions for falsifying his liquor reports to the regulatory authorities. His umbrella company, United Liquor, at the time held a monopoly in Arizona and was organized by Kemper Marley, who had mob ties. And that goes clear back to the Bronson family, which was a mob family from Canada. So that's typical of John McCain and his background. A lot worse has come up about Obama. It seems like every day we find out more about the radical leftist people. His wife apparently is quite disdainful of her husband. He says, you know, you people, speaking to a press gathering, see this suave, debonair Barack Obama, and I have to live with the man, you know, and he smells, she says, and he doesn't pick up a thing. He's a chain smoker, and, you know, she's a fairly high-powered $300,000 a year attorney, and she's a little miffed, I think, that her husband, who is not at all high class, is getting all of this notoriety. She's made a few digs and cuts at him over the time and been chastised for it, of course.
But, you know, Joel, that just doesn't make sense. What wife would make those remarks about her husband when he's running for the presidency? This just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words, too. You know, you look at Cindy McCain vouching for her husband, claiming that he would never dishonor the family, have an immoral relationship when she herself had an immoral relationship with him. She had knowledge of him molesting an MIA's wife, you know, from the military, and, of course, dozens and dozens of women in his fighter pilot days. You know, it's typical of those days. But this is really incredible that someone like Michelle, she's not dumb. I mean, this is one smart woman. But she obviously comes from a very radical background, just like he does. These are people that came from the far radical left. Obama's mother, Ann Durham, was, you know, a real Marxist, a sociologist, and he grew up with a lot of bad blood towards America.
Well, we live in very, very trying times. Our guest has been Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, and certainly we recommend his publication and his website to you. Joel, I guess we'll be talking to you tomorrow morning at early in the morning.
Great. See you then, Dr.
God bless. Bye-bye. And to your side, Joel Skousen, a real pleasure to have him with us every week, right here at Genesis.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you out there in the listening audience who believe in what we're trying to accomplish, who believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological battlefield. Oh, of course, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping in any way you can. And then, of course, we certainly want to mention that we have a new DVD. It's called The Planned Police State, and it contains some of the film footage from the Iran-Contra hearings, where you'll hear Congressman Jack Brooks asking Oliver North about the plan he had been working on in the Reagan administration to suspend the Constitution, round up Americans, and put them in concentration camps. And, of course, then the efforts by Senator Inouye to prevent that information from coming out. That's a very important piece of footage. And then Congressman Henry Gonzalez, saying, yes, there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and the round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. Now, that is the DVD. It's entitled The Planned Police State. We also have a four-tape set on concentration camps. And we have a DVD, America Behind Barbed Wire. And then we have, of course, the Concentration Camp Special, $69.95, with all sorts of DVDs and four-tape sets and information, government documents. That's the Concentration Camp Special. You need to have this at your fingertips. You need to help us to get the truth out across America while there is still time. And then, of course, we have so much other information going to the background of the fact that we are moving towards a dictatorship. And, of course, what's really behind this are these powerful spiritual forces. That's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so important. That's why we suggest you get my DVD on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You either get the book or the DVD or get them both together. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will certainly want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. And, of course, this basically is the story of the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the secret societies. And, of course, manifested today in the work of Rhonda Burns and her book and her DVD, The Secret. And she tells you, you can get anything you want to. All you have to do is use the law of attraction and begin to meditate on these various things, and they're going to come to you. Great wealth, great fortune, and it really does, in many instances, work. But you don't want to do this, because what you're doing is contacting demonic beings, and soon you'll find yourself possessed. So understand what this is about. We have a four-tape set called The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret, and it's available in four tapes or four CDs. We did a wonderful interview last night with Pastor Joe Schimmel on this very subject. He's coming out with a new DVD. It's not available quite yet, but it will be very soon. But if you'd like to get my interview with him, it's either CD or audio tape. It will be available if you just give us a call. And as for the recent interview with Pastor Joe Schimmel, you really need, of course, if you want to see something very professionally done, the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, or Riddles in Stone, The Secret History of the Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, and then Joe Schimmel's wonderful, wonderful DVD, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll, and it will take you into many of the leading people in the music industry today. And they've all made a pact with Lucifer. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope that you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And it's RadioLiberty.com. You can hear our programs there live or on the 9 hours a day on our satellite feed, or certainly archived or on MP3. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for Radio Liberty, pray for our provision and protection.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour they're going to be the views of Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're going to be talking about fish. Now, you may wonder why anybody would want to do a program on fish, but it's really very important. I was contacted recently by one of my friends and told about a website which is called Fish Scam, www.fishscam. And it simply points out that all this talk about the danger of mercury in fish is simply to mislead you, and the truth of the matter is that you should be eating lots of fish. And they point out that there are scientific studies that show that if a woman is pregnant and she doesn't eat any fish, why her child will be, at age 3, will certainly be a little slow mentally, and that if mothers do eat fish during the pregnancy, why their children are far superior to the children of the mothers who don't eat fish. And that just goes to show you how there's this scare program out there, this scam to try to keep you from eating fish. In addition, of course, according to the website, and it's a very professionally done website, why, of course, they have measured the level of mercury in fish 100 years ago and today, and it has not increased at all. And as a result, you are being scammed when you are told not to eat fish because of the danger of mercury there. And actually, fish is good for you. It's good for unborn children. Children are healthier, born to mothers who eat fish. And of course, I'll have to admit that when I went through this website and analyzed it very carefully, it was a very, very convincing story. I mean, how can you quarrel with scientific studies? Well, but before I was going to accept this as gospel truth, I went to Russell Blaylock, and I told him what was on the website, and I said, Russell, is this really true or not? And I was amazed of what Russell knew about fish and about the danger of eating fish. And so much, of course, what you're hearing about the danger of fish and the mercury in fish is absolutely true. And this website, put up by the people who, in the fishing industry, put up by the people who are certainly marketing fishing and fish products in an effort to confuse the issue. So with that as the background, Russell, you pick up the story.
Quite interested when you showed me that. I knew about the information they had on there beforehand. And of course, the central defense that they have is that fish contains a lot of selenium, and that selenium protects you against mercury, which is true to a degree. Selenium has been found to be, among all natural products, one of the more protective, particularly of brain damaging effects of mercury, but it's not absolute protection. And of course, as the levels of mercury increase in the brain to higher levels, the selenium protection begins to disappear. Now, what has happened is that over the last 10 years in particular, the EPA and the FDA, which monitors the mercury levels in fish, the EPA for sports fishing and the FDA for commercial seafood, they've become concerned that some of the fish are now accumulating levels of mercury that are unquestionably harmful to human health for a variety of reasons. And they picked out four fish that are, have such high levels of mercury they should never be. That's the tilefish, the shark, the swordfish, and the king mackerel. So they put on their site that these fish should never be eaten, that they're just far too toxic. Well, you can go in any restaurant in the United States and you can order one or more of these fish. It's on the menu.
You hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment as we bring on some other stations here and give these people a short repast. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're going to be talking about mercury and fish. Now, there is a website up there. It's called fishscam.com, fishscam.com. And it insists that, of course, there's no danger from mercury in fish, that actually children born to mothers who eat fish during their pregnancy are far, far healthier mentally and brighter and than the children born to mothers who don't eat any fish during their pregnancy. And so wherein does the truth lie? I went to Dr. Blaylock and asked him to, you know, go over the website and tell me, what is the scam? Is the scam that we're being told that there's a danger of mercury in fish? Or is the scam the fact that we're being told there is no danger of mercury in fish? Should we be eating fish? What is the danger? What happens if we don't eat fish? And, of course, we know that mercury is one of the most toxic substances to the brain. And what impact will it have on the brain of an unborn child if mother's eating large amounts of fish that is tainted with mercury? And what about the selenium? Does the selenium in the fish guard against brain toxicity? So go right ahead, Russell. I think it's such an important issue.
As I was saying, that, you know, of the big four fish, the main fish that have the highest level of mercury level, according to the EPA and the FDA, is the tilefish, the shark, the swordfish, and the king mackerel. And you can find this on the menu just about in any seafood restaurant. They're still being served, even though these government-operated websites say these fish should never be eaten because they're far too high levels of mercury. We also know that when pregnant women eat these, it's infinitely more dangerous to their developing infant than it is to adults, and that the mercury is actually concentrated by the placenta so that the baby's dose of mercury is infinitely higher than the mother's. And because the little developing baby is so small, the toxicity is infinitely higher for that baby. So it's getting a larger dose, and it's more susceptible to the toxicity. We know that it causes the brain in babies to be abnormally formed. It interferes with the development of the different layers of the brain and the way the pathways are developed in the brain. And that it occurs at levels that can be attained by eating certain of the fish. Now, not all fish have the same amount of mercury. Some have very small amounts. Some have very large amounts. And it seems to depend on the age of the fish, the amount of fat in the fish's body.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with all the rest of our listeners. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And first, Dr. Blaylock was simply talking about the pregnant woman who eats a fair amount of fish that contains mercury and what an impact this has on the development of the brain of her unborn child. And, of course, as Dr. Blaylock points out, it really depends upon the type of fish, because some fish have very little mercury in them. Some fish have a great deal of mercury in them and should never be eaten. So you pick the story up there, Russell.
Right. And what we know is that what makes the difference is the amount of fat in the fish, because mercury's fat-soluble and it tends to concentrate in the fat of the fish. The age of the fish, in other words, how old this fish is, and the size of the fish, and that's why shark and swordfish have such high mercury levels. They're such large fish, and they're eating other fish, and that concentrates the mercury. So there's a tremendous variability. Now, a lot of fish has very low levels of mercury in it. And so when you quote studies and say, well, children and women who eat fish have higher IQs and better health and better brain development than those that don't, well, they're eating a lot of fish that has low levels of mercury. But when we look specifically at pregnant women who eat fish that have the high mercury, we see just the opposite, the brain damage, the low IQ, the poor muscle development, the behavioral problems, all of these things can occur. And we know also that mercury can result in autism, particularly if it's given to a woman when she's pregnant and she's eating this high mercury fish. Now, we've also found that a lot of the manufacturers and even the government has lied about the mercury in the fish itself. For instance, in tuna, we've been told that the light tuna, the skipjack tuna, has real low levels of mercury, and that the albacore is the bad tuna. And so what the Mercury Policy Project out of Vermont, what they did is they went to supermarkets, got 60 cans of tuna from different manufacturers that was labeled light tuna, and they found 48 of the cans of tuna had levels of mercury that exceeded the EPA limits for safety. So they're being mixed with other tuna. They found out that the light tuna actually is being mixed with albacore tuna, and that's why the mercury levels are higher. Now, there was a case reported which ended up in the Wall Street Journal of a mother who read some of these things about improving the IQ of children, and so she fed her child tuna three times a day, and the child became severely mentally impaired, and the physician measured the mercury levels, and they were very high, and the child ended up demented. So we know from that experience and from other reports that, in fact, you can raise the mercury level in a child's brain high enough from eating these contaminated fish to produce a significant brain injury that's irreversible. The other thing is that the fish contains more than just mercury. The studies show that 90% of the fish, for instance, in the San Francisco Bay Area had high PCP levels, and that PCBs, the polychlorinated biphenyls, also produce neurological damage. There was a case in Michigan in the Great Lakes in which there was such high levels of PCBs that the children born to the mothers had severe brain damage that was persistent, did not clear up. Of course, the levels there were much higher than the levels in the San Francisco Bay, but it's still of a level that's of concern to the EPA, and it exceeds EPA levels. There's another study that was done in the San Francisco Estuary Institute study, and they looked at seven different fish in the area, and they found very high levels of PCBs in 90% of the fish. Dioxins, one of the other brain toxins, carcinogen-related substances, 69% of the fish were contaminated. Mercury was in 38%, and a pesticide residue, Deldrin, was in 19%. So it's more than just the mercury. We're seeing other contaminations. Now, as far as the effect of the mercury on the brain, there was two studies that were done, one in the Faroe Islands and the other the Antilles Islands, and what they discovered was that the people there were eating fish that had high mercury levels, and they measured some brain function studies, and the first report came out and said they didn't find any problem. It was restudied independently, and they found, in fact, they did have problems with their brain function. A Finnish study which looked at people who ate fish that also was highly mercury toxic found a significant elevation in cardiovascular disease, particularly among men, but that the protective effect of the omega-3 fatty acid that's always spoken about for reducing heart disease, what the mercury did is it reduced that protective effect. That is, it increased the risk of atherosclerosis. Another study that was done in the San Francisco Bay Area was Dr. Jean Hightower's study, in which she looked at a number of her patients who were complaining of loss of hair and confusion and memory loss and inability to focus their thinking, what they call brain fog. And she found that these people had high levels of the mercury, the kind that's found in fish called methylmercury. She also found an increased incidence of cardiovascular disease and atherosclerosis, which we know there is a connection between heart disease and mercury levels. Now, a couple of animal studies that are of interest, they fed the animals methylmercury, the kind that's found in fish, over about an 18-month period, and what they found was there was this slow accumulation in the brain, and that as it accumulated in the brain, it was demethylated. What that means is it removed that methyl part of methylmercury so that it would ended up ionic mercury, and ionic mercury is the most powerfully brain-damaging type of mercury, and that this slowly accumulated in the brain. And it produced chronic brain inflammation. And that if you stop the mercury, the brain inflammation continued for almost a year afterwards. So this is a very prolonged effect. This is not something that's short term. And, you know, that would be a really great concern. Now, people ask me, say, well, what is the source of all this mercury? Why does the fish have such high mercury levels? Well, it comes from coal-burning plants. Coal has high mercury levels and ends up in the air, and the rain brings it down to the water. Pesticides and herbicide use, they contain mercury. The runoff there into lakes and streams and into the ocean produce elevated mercury levels. Undersea volcanic eruptions, the earth degasses and it produces mercury release. And, of course, the runoff from gold mining and mercury mines into the ocean, the lakes and streams, and rivers, is another major source. So we have multiple sources of the mercury. The greatest contribution is from the degassing of the earth. Close second is man-made mercury sources.
Well, has the level of mercury in fish increased? Of course, according to to this website, fishscam.com, why the level of mercury in fish is not increasing. But that really isn't true, is it?
It isn't true, and they really haven't been monitoring fish for mercury levels that long. So when they say that it's no different than 100 years ago, well, 100 years ago they didn't monitor fish for mercury. Now, I looked at the geological website to see exactly where's the atmospheric mercury and where's the highest mercury in the ocean. Well, the highest levels are in the Arctic Circle, in Europe, the Asian landmass, and in the eastern seaboard of the United States and Canada. That's where the highest levels of mercury are located, particularly in the northeast United States. You know, as you look at the industrialized area, particularly mining areas, you see tremendously high levels in the fish. When you have high agricultural areas around lakes and rivers, you see very high levels of mercury in the fish. Of course, as this increases over time, we see higher levels.
Wasn't there an area over somewhere in Indonesia or... and where they were doing gold mining, and of course the debris from the gold mining was contained mercury was getting into the bay there, and the people were getting mercury toxicity?
Oh, absolutely. And same thing in Chile. There's a lot of copper mining, gold mining, and mercury was pouring into the rivers and the lakes and into the ocean, and so the fish had very high levels of mercury there as well. So this is something that's fairly common. These man-made sources significant. The other thing that people need to understand is mercury, being fat soluble, and the fact the brain is 60% fat, it accumulates in the brain. So every dose that you get, it's stored in the brain, doesn't go away. So each meal with contaminated fish raises your brain level, and it stays there for decades and decades.
Is there any way to get it out at all?
Yeah, there's some things that are indicating things like alpha lipoic acid, selenium can reduce it, magnesium even seems to reduce it, garlic, aged garlic extract seems to be very efficient at removing brain mercury, and of course some of the chelation methods can also slightly reduce brain levels. It takes a long time. Very long treatment.
Of course, the thing is, we don't want to get the mercury in there to begin with, because mercury is terribly toxic for the brain, and we're exposed to so much of it, especially our children. We'll go right ahead, Russell.
Well, that's exactly right, and the real problem is that pregnant women are consuming this, and you know, they had an EPA-FDA joint advisory in 2004, and in this advisory, they said that pregnant women and women who plan to get pregnant. Well, that's essentially every young girl in America. I mean, she's eventually going to want to have a family. And so what you're saying is no female should ever eat mercury-containing fish because it accumulates. And they admit that when the young girl is 7 years old, 8 years old, and she's consuming fish all these years until she reaches the age in which she's going to have a baby, she's accumulated a significant amount of this methylmercury in her body, and the baby's going to be exposed to it. So, you know, the female and the pregnant female in particular is at really high risk of damaging their babies from this. Now, the omega-3 fatty acid helps blunt some of this negative effect. But you can get the omega-3 fatty acid by supplement, which is molecularly distilled and contains not only no mercury, but none of the pesticide, herbicide residues, the dioxin, etc. All of that's removed, so it's 99.8% pure. I mean, it's very purified. And that's a much better way to get your dose of the healthy omega-3 oils rather than depending on fish.
And I think it really is so important that people understand how vitally important those omega-3 oils are, and really for your cardiovascular health, for your mental health. We need those omega-3 oils, not the omega-6, but the omega-3s. But we can get them commercially far more safely than by eating fish. Now, should we be eating any fish at all? What fish can we eat without too much fear?
Well, they found that things like you know, in terms of seafood, you can eat the crab and scallops and shrimp are fairly safe. They're extremely low mercury levels. The pollock has a low mercury level. Flounder has a low mercury level. So there's an assortment of fish that have fairly low mercury levels. But again, that also depends on your geographic location. For instance, in San Francisco Bay and Santa Monica area, it can have very high levels, so you can't go by these general charts. But, you know, other than these hot spots of mercury contamination, if you know the source of your seafood, you can do it. Now, see things like sardines, the small fish, the fish that are fairly young, they don't accumulate much mercury. And so generally, the smaller fish, the younger fish, the defatted fish are healthy. Now, for instance, if you want to get rid of the PCBs, what you do is you remove the fatty tissue from this animal and all the entrails before you cook it. That reduces the amount of PCBs because PCBs also dissolve in the fatty tissue, but then you're losing the omega-3 fatty acids. So while the meat of the fish is fairly healthy, you know, and low in mercury, you're not going to be able to meet your omega-3 needs by eating defatted fish.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Russell was talking about the fish, and there's certainly charts on which fish are good and which fish are not, but then you also have to take into account where those fish are caught, because certain places like San Francisco Bay, you're going to have all sorts of other toxins in addition to mercury, the PCBs and the other pesticides and dioxins in it. So you have to be very careful about where the fish are caught. And of course, as Russell is saying, certainly if you are going to have fish, you want to cut off the fat, but then when you do that, you don't get the omega-3 oils which you need. And so even though the meat may be fairly safe, why you're not getting the things that you need for your general health. So go right ahead, Russell.
Well, in that case, what you need to do is take these purified supplements that remove all of these bad components. There's an interesting website I found. It's called www.gotmercury.org, G-O-T-mercury.org. And they have a mercury calculator on there, and you put in your body weight and how much fish you eat per week. And then it has a chart where you can pick the type of fish you're eating, and it'll give you the percentage of the EPA limit that you attain by eating that fish. And what you see, for instance, you put in a king mackerel, it's about 240% above the EPA limit. You put in tile fish, and it's 300 or 400% higher. So you get a good idea that if you're just eating this fish twice a week, you're getting high levels of mercury. If you eat some of these fish once a month, you're getting high levels of mercury. And if you look on the EPA site, for some of the fish, they say it shouldn't be eaten more than once a month. Well, even that's denying the fact that this methyl mercury is stored for very long periods of time in the brain. Studies show that it's as long as 30 years storage. And because it is demethylated over time, in fact, the ionic mercury is never removed from the brain. So it'll remain there for your entire lifetime. So to eat this fish constantly, every week, in the levels suggested by this fish scam website, within a short period of time, you'd attain brain levels that are certainly neurotoxic, and it's converted to a form of mercury that cannot be removed from the brain. So I would caution against following advice on that website.
Now, again, that website is fishscam.com, fishscam.com. It's very, very professionally done, beautifully laid out, very convincing, and it's all a lie. And, of course, the thing is that people have to have some source of information they can trust. And so much of the information up on the Internet, some of it's good, some of it's bad. But how can the average individual interpret what's going on? And they really they do not have the background. That's why we feel so fortunate to have Dr. Blaylock, because when I broached the subject to him, he was well acquainted with all of the arguments. And, of course, one of the things that he said to me, which I thought was so important, that this idea that if a mother doesn't eat any fish or fish products, and certainly at age three, why her child is going to be dull and unresponsive. If the mother does eat some fish during the pregnancy, the child is better. But the one thing they don't tell you is if the mother doesn't eat any fish but takes the fish oil, the omega-3 oils, that those are the top-notch children. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you do the studies where you're using supplements, you see a lot better effects than if you use the mercury-containing fish. And that's been done. And what they show is that the presence of the mercury blunts or reduces the effectiveness of the omega-3 oils. And that's what they never explain on this website. Now, if you look at who's funding this website, it's funded by the restaurant associations. It's funded by the commercial fish organizations. You know, it's funded by people selling fish. This has had somewhat of an impact on them, and so their defense is to throw up this idea that the selenium is totally protective. Well, you know, selenium is protective, but it's not absolute protection. And when you eat the high mercury fish, you're certainly producing a high enough mercury level in your brain that it's going to overwhelm the protective effect of selenium.
So what fish can we eat? You mentioned there were a few of the smaller fish we can eat, but of course just not on a regular basis. Would that be it?
Yeah, usually, like I say, the shrimp and the crab and the scallops and the sardines and the flounder and the pollock, the trout, catfish, things like that you can eat. It's pretty, you know, it's really low in mercury. Some is below detectable levels, so yeah, you can eat those. And the thing is, just don't eat them all the time. You know, if you eat them once a week or twice a week, if it's extremely low or levels that are not detectable, then that's safe.
But remember, it's the shark and certainly the swordfish and the king mackerel. And what's the other one there that we got?
The tilefish. The tilefish is number one.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Dr. Russell Blaylock. Russell, one of the things that I can remember when I was looking into some of these things, nutrition, that certainly fish is an excellent source of iodine. And the one reason people were told to either eat fish, and they used to call it brain food, was because of the iodine there. What's the background of that?
Well, iodine is very important for brain function, and recent studies are finding that it's a lot more important than we ever thought it was. It plays a big role in depression. People that are very low in iodine have problems with depression, which is in some way related to the hypothyroidism that's produced, the low thyroid function. But it also is a direct brain effect. The brain apparently requires a considerable amount of iodine. So iodine is very important, but there's other sources of iodine. You can take iodine supplements, you can take kelp and things like that have higher iodine levels in it. But it is, it's a very important element. And iodine and selenium work together. So when you take iodine, you should take your maintenance dose of selenium, which is 200 micrograms a day. One of the other things that people need to be concerned about is that because all the NAFTA and the free trade agreements, a large percentage of our seafood is coming from communist China. And what they're now showing through multiple exposés is that often they have these huge lakes, artificial lakes, that they're raising these seafood sources in that are just heavily contaminated with industrial chemicals as well as mercury. So the seafood that's coming over here from Vietnam and coming from communist China is badly contaminated, particularly with industrial chemicals. And apparently it's a real problem in China. There's a lot of sickness and neurological disease from people eating the seafoods raised in these ponds. And the government, of course, communist government, has no interest in cleaning any of this up. They just want to hurry up and sell this and fund their military so they can one day defeat the United States. But we're pouring all this NAFTA free trade money into bringing in this heavily contaminated. I mean, it far exceeds any contamination of the American food supply.
And I think it's so important that people have to realize that you kind of have to start thinking about these things, find out where your food's coming from, and if it's coming from communist China, why, of course, you have no protection at all. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're talking about fish. And before we go on, Russell, let's get out your website, and you put in a plug for your newsletter, too, because Dr. Blaylock writes a newsletter that's circulated all over the country, all over the world. It's the Blaylock Wellness Report, and I get it myself. I subscribe to it, and I think it's a great source of information. So how can people, first of all, get to your website? Secondly, how can they learn about getting your newsletter?
They can get to my website through www.russellblaylockmd.com, RussellBlaylockMD.com. And you can get the newsletter through the website. so that's an easy way to link up to get it. But we cover a lot of different subjects in the web in the newsletter. One of them was on mercury, and one is specifically on the fish problem as well. You know, one of the things that's overlooked in a lot of the discussion of mercury toxicity is that most people in the world, particularly in the United States, have multiple sources of mercury. For instance, dental amalgam is a major source. It exceeds even the seafood as a source. And vaccines have been a major source of mercury contamination. So when you start evaluating people, you have to look at atmospheric levels, you have to look at their vaccine exposure, and you have to look at whether or not they have dental amalgam and then the seafood. So here in many people, you have four different sources of mercury contamination, which can be quite high. For instance, in West Texas, the atmospheric mercury is extremely high. In the south, the mercury levels is much higher than in the north, above the Mason-Dixon line. I think that was a plot after Reconstruction. They put the mercury in the south. But when the hurricanes come through, it blows the mercury up north, and the mercury levels start rising considerably above the Mason-Dixon line. So every time we have a hurricane come through the Gulf, it raises the mercury level in the northern part of the United States. But these atmospheric sources can be quite considerable. So if you have a pregnant woman who lives, for instance, in West Texas or southern Alabama, and she also has dental amalgam in her teeth, and she's getting the flu vaccine as recommended, which contains mercury, and she's eating seafood that's contaminated, she has a very high level of mercury. And it's being transferred to her developing baby in concentrations that exceed hers. It's significantly magnified in the baby.
And, of course, I think that the recommendation that they give an influenza, you know, shot to a pregnant woman even in the first trimester, or that now, of course, the CDC has come out and is recommending every child 6 months of age get an influenza shot laden with mercury. I mean, I think this is just criminal negligence.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this is just really upsetting. Here we have considerable evidence of the brain toxic effect of these levels of mercury, and that the flu vaccine contains a full dose of mercury. Now, they recommended that all children from age 6 months to 5 years of age have the flu vaccine every year. Well, they just recently changed it, and now they're recommending every child from age 6 months to age 18 have a flu vaccine every year. So that means they're going to get a dose of mercury every year for 18 years, in addition to all of these other sources of mercury. Now, this, as you say, that's a criminal act. They're not stupid. They know what mercury does to the brain. The literature is available to anyone. It's been presented in numerous conferences and debates in this issue. Some of the most brilliant minds in mercury toxicity have testified that these levels of mercury that are used in vaccines far exceed the dose that is known to produce brain disruption and damage. And yet they continue to do it. And they continue to increase the number of vaccines considerably. Now, this flu-containing, mercury-containing flu vaccine in a pregnant woman is considerably more dangerous. And we know that, and we have powerful scientific evidence of that. And what we know is that when you stimulate a pregnant woman to produce a lot of inflammatory cytokines, which the vaccines do, even those without mercury, when you do that, there is a very high incidence of schizophrenia and autism in that child. This is known. There's numerous studies, numerous articles written about this. At first they thought it was the virus, the flu virus, was passing to the fetus. Then they found out if you use just an immune adjuvant, something to stimulate the immune system, without any virus being present, you had the same effect. And so it wasn't the virus, it was the immune activity that was overactive during pregnancy that produced a high incidence of schizophrenia and a high incidence of autism in these developing babies. And of course, the schizophrenia onset is in the teenage years or in the 20s. So there's a considerable delay into the onset. Now, this is not speculation. This is hard science. And it's in the peer-reviewed journals. There's no reason for anyone not knowing that. And for them to make a national policy saying that every pregnant woman should be vaccinated with the mercury-containing vaccine or any vaccine during pregnancy is absolutely criminal. And women need to wake up and not do this.
And you're just going to have to say to your doctor, I'm not going to do it. Have you read all of the scientific studies, doctor, or are you simply blindly following along what the Centers for Disease Control is telling you to do? And I think that most doctors will be very taken aback because they're not used to their patients speaking up. But if you don't speak up, you're going to damage your child. One in every six children born in America today has a neurodevelopmental abnormality of one sort or another, and you just don't see this among the Amish children because they're a lot smarter. They refuse to give their kids all these vaccines, and you have to ask yourself, why it is that the people in the CDC aren't smart enough to see what's going on, or maybe they do know and they have a different agenda. Under any circumstances, I think the information is so vitally important, and certainly there is no more toxic substance to the human brain than mercury. And then, of course, as Dr. Blaylock has pointed out, it is the alum, it's the aluminum that they put into the vaccines that stimulate the immune system so the body will fight off disease. But there's a separate immune system in the brain, and that brain becomes inflamed, and it's inflamed for, what, about a year after they've taken any vaccine, whether it's got the mercury in it or not?
Yeah, and some studies show as long as 2 years. So when you're giving multiple vaccines, you're really producing significant brain inflammation. Now, I recently wrote an article on the McCullough website about the effects of vaccinating people over 50 with multiple vaccines and what it does in terms of depression, suicide rates, etc., and neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Well, you should read the comments that came through, and some of the comments said, well, we vaccinated our first child, and the child has all sorts of language problems, difficulty learning, he has social problems, behavioral problems. But after that, we didn't vaccinate any of our children, so the rest of the children are bright and alert and learning really well, have good language function, excellent behavior. And we have, there's just comment after comment of parents who are saying the same thing. When they didn't vaccinate their children are just really bright and doing well, and compared to their cousins and the other children that they play with, they see this huge difference in the vaccinated child. But this is just being totally ignored, and it's a dumbing down of a large number of our children because of vaccination that impairs the formation of the brain. What a lot of people don't realize is that during the first year, 2 years of life, is when the brain does most of its development. It's called the brain growth spurt. But even up until to age 20, the brain is undergoing considerable construction, forming these pathways and developing. At age 6, still 20% of the brain is not completely formed. And at age 8, 10% still not formed. So there's a considerable amount of brain development going on even until, at least age 10. Yet, before age 2, children get 22 different vaccines. Before they go to school at age 6, they have 36 different vaccines they're given. And I have provided considerable evidence that shows what this does to the developing brain. And it is devastating. And this is hard science. It is well known in the area of neuroscience what this does to the developing brain, and it can produce irreparable, irreversible effects on important parts of the brain, particularly the parts that have to do with attention, cognition, and behavior. And that's what we're seeing in the United States. We're seeing more and more behavioral problems. We're seeing children who have difficulty with their memory, with their language function. And it's just being totally ignored, despite this overwhelming neuroscience scientific literature.
Well, of course, one of the things that they've recently reported, you know, is that the when our students graduate from high school and they're tested at that time competitively with students from, I think, 30 or 40 other countries. And our kids can't compete, you know, with children graduating from schools in other countries. But, of course, most of these countries do not have, of course, all the toxins that are affecting the brains and of their children like we have here in America. Oh, we have such a wonderful public health program that, you know, and all the wonderful things that they're doing to protect our health. And yet our children's minds are not functioning correct. And then we go on into college, and most of them have to take remedial courses before they can even get in. And our students, many of them, really cannot compete effectively when they graduate from college. And so many of them have real mental problems. And the government knows these things are going on, but they assure us it has nothing to do with mercury. They say, oh, my goodness, absolutely no relationship to autism and mercury. And that she said over and over and over again by the controlled media, and they know that because you've actually read that report, the Southwood report, I think it is, that came out when the people from the CDC and the, you know, had a meeting on whether there was a relationship between autism and mercury and thimerosal in the vaccines, and it was very obvious they knew, and the question was not whether it caused it, autism or not, but how they were going to cover it up from the American people. Is that the American people found out, why they'd lose confidence in their doctors and in the public health service if they knew that we were poisoning their children. That's an amazing, amazing document.
Well, yeah, it's a Simpsonwood conference.
Simpsonwood, right.
And what they had invited was about 50 different scientists and all of the major manufacturers of vaccines and the World Health Organization representatives. And it was a secret conference. It was completely held in secret. And there was warnings not to release any of this information. It was stamped guarded information. I received a copy of it from a congressman. And when I read this report, it's a very long report, here they had some of the top statisticians in the world, and they went over all of this data. And they said, we've looked at this every way we can and tried to pick it apart. There is no question that the higher the dose of mercury, the more neurodevelopmental problems we're seeing. The more vaccines that are given, the more neurodevelopmental problems we're seeing. There's just no question of that. And people tried to argue it down, particularly, you know, some of the defenders of vaccines. And the statisticians said, this is a linear effect. The higher the dose, the worse the neurological damage. This cannot be questioned. And so then they said, well, maybe it's genetic. And a geneticist there said, look, I'm a geneticist. Genetic diseases don't just suddenly appear in mass amounts. In 1983, the incidence of autism was 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 150. That does not happen with genetic diseases. And so every way they tried to talk their way out of this, they couldn't. And in fact, one of the correspondents said, one of the scientists who was a chairman said, well, last night, my first grandchild was born, and it's a male child, and I'll be darned if he's going to get a thimerosal-containing vaccine until we find out what's going on here. Now, this was all kept secret, and at the end of the conference, they concluded, this is real. The mercury is damaging the brains of children, and they're getting very high doses of mercury from these vaccines. Yet they kept this secret. He protected his own grandchild, but he didn't care about the thousands of other grandchildren and children out in America. For 4 years, this was kept secret. Finally, when it was published in the journal Pediatrics, they changed the results and said, we didn't find a connection to neurodevelopmental problems. They used some statistical manipulation to make it appear as if there was no correlation. Totally cover it up. And, of course, the lead author of the study ended up misrepresenting himself, saying that he worked for the CDC when, in fact, he was an employee of a vaccine manufacturer at the time he wrote this article, which was the cover-up.
And he actually...
Journal Pediatric did not make him retract his article.
And, of course, he was hired then by Glaxo, I think, SmithKline over at, over in Europe. Why would they go to the CDC and hire the man who'd done the study that showed that the vaccines were producing autism? Well, you know a better way to silence somebody.
Exactly.
And of course, exactly. But they cannot let the American people know that they're poisoning our children. And
you see, here's another effect. Now, we've talked about the effect of all these vaccines on the young children. And now they want them to get a flu vaccine every year until they're 18 years of age. Then at 18, they want every child that goes to college to get the full course of the meningococcal vaccine. So that means these children, all the way into age 18 and 19 years of age, are just being inundated with vaccines, some of which contain mercury. Well, what I show in my studies, it's not just the mercury. It's the number of vaccines that are being given. If you removed all the mercury, you'd still have problems.
Because it produces brain inflammation, and nobody wants to talk about that.
That's exactly right.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Russell Blaylock. And again, would you get your website out there so people would know where to get your information?
Yes, it's www.russellblaylockmd.com. RussellBlaylockMD.com.
And Dr. Blaylock, we hope he's going to be with us in our October 26th conference this year. And here it'll be held in the Monterey Bay area. We're looking forward to having him and his wife as our guest there. And anyway, Russell, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
Okay.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning your children. Well, Russell, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think what we've established here is that there's a concerted effort by some nefarious, evil people to harm the children, our most defenseless segment of the population. And they're doing it with vaccines. They're covering up the fish mercury danger, and they're covering up the amalgam toxicity danger. So we're also seeing just a tremendous addition to the number of vaccines being recommended. And the scientific evidence proves that causes chronic brain inflammation and a number of conditions, including increased suicide, depression, difficulty thinking, cognitive problems, all of these things added together. We know that, and what we need to do is get this information out. People need to stop trusting these regulatory agencies and public health officials, because